Hello and welcome to the BizNews News Wrap for Monday, the 11th of November. I'm Lucian Ferreira, here to bring you today's top stories from BizNews. Remember, these clips are just previews. For the full interviews and stories, you can visit BizNews TV, radio, or .com, or you can catch Alec live on BizNews Briefing at 7 a.m. on weekdays. In today's highlights, Bitcoin's record surge with insights from Geltech's Jason Welts and David Shapiro's positive take on U.S. politics and economic shifts, Johann Rupert's efforts to secure U.S. trade ties for South Africa, and MK Party founder Jabulani Khumalo on corruption and service concerns in South Africa. We also hear from UIM President Neil the Beer on political chaos around the bailable. And lastly, we'll wrap up the show having a look at today's market movements. Starting off, here's Jason Welts on why Bitcoin is seen as a groundbreaking asset, even appealing to conservative investors, as well as Welts' advice on asset allocation.
Well, I mean, I think Bitcoin itself is a kind of a new paradigm in assets. I mean, it's the first sort of completely trustless asset that you don't need to hold physically while still be able to maintain its scarcity. And it's taken a lot of people a long time to kind of come around to that idea. Even there's no guarantee that that will have any value just by itself. I mean, if you look at gold prices, for instance, a lot of gold's value comes from a monetary premium that is the result of decades of use as money, centuries of use, should I say. And you sort of have this herd behavior, and it's just more of a social, the value is more of a social dynamic as opposed to a real fundamental, tangible valued asset like oil or something that can be used in productive processes. It's a very interesting asset. And I think it's definitely here to stay. We've seen endorsement from a number of players in the financial industry recently, and we've seen maybe not a flood yet, but definitely some interest from pension funds around the world.
What is the percentage of their portfolios that you would be recommending they hold today?
I mean, it obviously depends on your individual circumstances, but as kind of a rule of thumb, no more than 5% for your average investor. And for most people, anything over 2% is probably not going to be advisable. But if you understand the industry, you have a strong view on Bitcoin, and you've done your own research, a higher allocation might make sense in your personal circumstances. And for me personally, I'm quite young. I break those rules of thumb quite significantly.
Next up, SASFIN's David Shapiro discusses how economic issues, rather than social ones, are driving voter support with renewed backing for former President Trump.
I think as we go through the post-mortem, you realize just how bad the Democrats were and how America voted. It had nothing to do with the abortion rights. It had nothing to do with those elements, his character. It all had to do with the economy, and particularly at the low end of the market where people couldn't afford prices anymore. They were worried about immigration, the safety. So there are a lot of factors that are coming through which highlight how the Democrats just neglected or called it wrong. And you're finding the world shifting, you know, certainly opinion shifting towards Trump. I think there are a lot of good things. I love this deregulation issue. It's something that really stuck in my throat, particularly with big companies. You know, I'm a great believer that large companies drive the economy because they make money, they put into R&D, and they develop new industries. And as we see, Europe likes to break them up. And I think Europe's going to be perhaps one of the areas of this market or this economy that's going to suffer, you know, with a weak China and now with the Trump tariffs and also putting pressure on them.
And now Alec Hogg reports on Johann Rupert's push to enhance South Africa's trade ties with the US.
Some pretty hectic news from a South African perspective. Johann Rupert has gone into bat for South Africa. We have confirmed reports that Rupert was the guy who put together that 15-minute conversation that we reported on Friday, and Cyril Ramaphosa confirmed, between Ramaphosa and Donald Trump. That was on Friday. But ahead of that, both Rupert and his good friends, Ernie Els and Rurik Gobel. Ernie, of course, a great golfer. Rurik, who's a businessman, but also a pretty good golfer as well. They met with Trump in Mar-a-Lago and spoke to him about AGOA. Now, AGOA is really important for South Africans to think about because AGOA is the ability for South African companies to have access into America tariff-free. And the report back was that Trump listened carefully and respectfully to what Johann Rupert had to say.
And coming closer to home, Jabulani Khumalo voices concerns over corruption and inadequate services, highlighting issues like access to clean water and affordable power in rural areas.
So I remember you telling me that it was a huge issue for you to keep people linked to corruption out of MK. And once the party was out of your hands, then that started happening.
Well, I think the whole of the top structure of MK is with those people. They are the ones that have taken over, but they are not in MK to assist or to work for the people. MK was formed to liberate the people, to make sure that the African people get what they've always asked, that the leadership or the power of or the parties must do in parliament to change the laws that are keeping them in the bushes there, keeping them in the dark. No water, no lights, no food, and we are losing the one like this or that white man now who has a 4 million scam of diamond. He's saying openly, he's giving people money. What is that money for? What was it to be used for? If he took those millions and gave it to a company to build boreholes in the rural areas to get people to get water. And if we went to China and bought the, what we call this thing for the lights, for the electricity, to get people to get lights, those monies would have made a difference in our country. But it's not making difference because they're giving them to certain people to make their lavish life, to get happy and do whatever they want to do. And then after that, they come back and then fight against the people who wants to make difference in the communities.
And now Neil de Beer criticizes the ongoing confusion surrounding the Bela Bill.
But Chris, it remains a kind of weird scenario that mark net nie sin. You have Pieter Groenewald, Dr. Groenewald, John Steinhuisen, you have Clayton McKenzie, who are ministers in the parliament and cabinet of the GNU, marching because of the current scenario of the implementation of the Bela Bill. Three ministers standing there and saying that we totally disagree against the Bela Bill and you should be in your cabinet. I doubt that this thing is going to get the reprieve of this mass march of 10,000 people saying, nay, nay. But I'm doubting that the president and Fikile and their big little march man within the circus, Lesufi, is going to let that happen. And that's my opinion. But it is an absolute, absolute conundrum to me that you've got cabinet ministers, political leaders that sit in government, and that they are attacking a matter now outside.
As we wrap up the show, here's a quick look at the key market movements and stock performances for the day. Bitcoin has hit another all-time high, trading just above $83,000 at the time of recording. And in South African numbers, the JSE Top 40 closed down 0.32%, with resources falling just over 2%. The Rand weakened, and at closing, it was 17 Rand 90 to the US dollar and just over 23 Rand to the pound due to the combination of a strengthening dollar, market volatility, and expectations of lower interest rates. And then in top stock news on the day, Woolworths shares rose by 4.6%, driven by strong growth in its core food segment as demand for premium groceries surged. Clothing and home divisions also showed recovery, though economic challenges may impact discretionary spending. Despite this, Woolworths' food segment remains a key growth area, reassuring investors. Vodacom, however, saw shares dipping by 3.6% after its earnings release, with revenue growth fueled by African market expansion, especially in digital financial services. However, rising costs and operational hurdles in South Africa, including power issues, are dampening the outlook. However, the company's push into financial services offers long-term potential. And then Pick n Pay is down 1.9% on the day as Boxer, its discount supermarket, plans to list on the JSE on the 28th of November with a secondary A2X listing. The 8 to 8.5 billion rand offering will fund debt reduction and core investments with rapid growth and a 68% share in the local discount grocery market. Boxer is set for aggressive expansion in spite of the market's reaction. And lastly, Karoo climbed another 3.9%, showcasing continued resilience in today's market. And that's it for today's BizNews News Wrap. Thank you for tuning in, and don't forget to subscribe to BizNews TV and Radio for more insights. We'll see you tomorrow.